Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you revealed yourself to us, giving us the living word, Jesus Christ, to come into this world and to share with us what it means to be in a relationship with you. Thank you that we have your written word from which we can learn more about your revelation, learn more about you and how you speak to us. And therefore, Lord, we now ask that you would continue to speak to us as we continue to worship you through looking into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've enjoyed the journey through the life story of Joseph in the Old Testament, in Genesis. And we're now moving into the New Testament for the rest of my time here. But for two Sundays in a row, we're going to look at the book of Philemon. And today we're going to focus more on Christian community, and we'll read the first part and the last part of this short little letter by the Apostle Paul. And just to tell you kind of how I got to that, obviously in prayer, asking the Lord to help me in preparation for delivering the message, which is a wonderful privilege but also a responsibility. But moving from Joseph, where we learned more about Joseph going as a slave to prison and then forgiving his brother. So those three kind of concepts helped me to then end up in the book of Philemon, where we find similar concepts, and that is slavery, imprisonment, as well as forgiveness and freedom. And so those are the things we will use as a backdrop as we look at this little book called Philemon. So I'm going to read from Philemon. It's a one chapter letter by the Apostle Paul, and therefore we often don't even refer to chapter, but for easy sake we refer to it as Philemon chapter 1 verses 1 to 7. And I'm also going to read the conclusion of the letter, verses 22 to 25. And Paul writes, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apthia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Now we're skipping the main portion of the letter and going all the way down to verse 22. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends your greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So when we look at Philemon, the epistle, which is another word for a letter, it's a kind of a technical word we use for the letters written in the New Testament. Philemon, as I said, is this one chapter letter that Paul wrote. It is the shortest of the letters of the Apostle Paul. It's also the most intimate and personal letter that he wrote. He did write to Timothy and Titus as well. Those three letters probably came later after Philemon, and although Philemon is placed at the end of Paul's corpus, or the letters of Paul, it is not the final one or the last one that he wrote. He probably wrote Timothy and Titus a bit later on. And it's usually treated as part of what we call the prison letters. There are four letters that Paul wrote from prison. That is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and this little book, Philemon. Probably written towards the end of Paul's life, but he's probably, and I say probably because there are all sorts of arguments, He could have been in prison and probably was in prison sometime in Ephesus. And so some argue that he wrote from Ephesus, although most scholars today would probably accept the fact that Paul probably wrote these letters from imprisonment in Rome. When the book of Acts ends, it ends with Paul being in prison for 2 years in Rome, in the city of Rome, imprisoned by the Romans. And so it was probably during this time that Paul wrote these four letters, including the one that we are going to look at. Colossians and Philemon are usually treated together. Even if you pick up a commentary, you won't find often a separate commentary on the book of Philemon, because the two letters are so closely connected. It's the same person who sends them. It is the same person who probably carried them to their destination. And several of the names that are used in these two letters, Colossians and Philemon, coincide. And so it's kind of clear that Paul wrote at the same time and he gave it to the same person to carry across. And that person's name is Tychicus. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, Paul writes and he says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. And here's another connection. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. And they will tell you everything that is happening here. And so as you go to that middle section of the letter that I didn't read, you'll find the name of Onesimus, because Onesimus is a runaway slave that came in contact with Paul somehow and became a Christian. And Paul is now literally sending him back to his slave master, his owner, who lives in Colossae, the city. And so when we go to Philemon, the person who is this Philemon that he's writing to, Philemon was most likely a wealthy member of the city, in the city of Colossae. Philemon owned a house that already makes you fairly well, middle class to upper class. He owns a slave and most likely owned more than one slave, but at least owned Onesimus. In other words, he was able to buy some slaves and they worked in his household for him. But also Paul mentions the fact that a church is gathering in Philemon's home. Now, a church, probably not our size, but maybe 15, 20, 30 people. But even that number, you would need a fairly large place in order to accommodate a church to have them meet in your home. That also means that although Paul does not say that, that Philemon is a leader in the community, but also a leader in the church, may have been a pastor in the church of that particular church, but Paul does not mention that in this letter. Paul alludes to the fact that Philemon became a Christian as a result of Paul's ministry. He says, you owe your life to me. And that is an allusion to the fact that somehow Paul came in touch with Philemon and led him to the Lord, and Philemon became a Christian, and he was serving the church in Colossae. Now, where and how that happened, we don't know. But if I take your mind back to Acts chapter 19, Paul was spending some time in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. In fact, one of the longest ministries he had was right there in Ephesus. He stayed there for at least 2 years, if not longer. And the comment in the book of Acts in chapter 19 is, during this time, the gospel spread across the whole of Asia Minor. And Colossae was about 200 kilometers, just under 200 kilometers away from Ephesus. If you go across the land, inland, which is modern-day Turkey. And Paul also mentions in the letter to the Colossians, he mentions Hierapolis and Laodicea and Colossae. Those three cities were in a triangle right there next to each other. If you've ever visited Turkey, it hopefully would have included something like Pamukkale and Hierapolis. And Colossae is not a place to really visit. If you go there modern times right now, it's just a hill. Literally, it's a hill, which is called a tell. In archaeological terms, it has never been excavated. And so you just can literally walk on this hill and know that underneath you is the old city of Colossae. And so Paul is writing to this, a church in Colossians, but now he sends along with this a little letter, a more personal, intimate letter about a completely different issue, the issue of slavery and the issue of Onesimus having become a Christian. So Onesimus, it seems like, ran away, had opportunity, and they weren't in chains. And especially if Philemon became a Christian, he would have been taught to treat these slaves in a proper manner, like we find in Scripture and other places. We'll look a little bit more in depth next week to that particular issue. And so Philemon was free, he was a servant in the home, and somehow he got an opportunity to take his freedom to himself, and he ran away. How he came in contact with Paul, we have no clue. But obviously Rome being the center of the world at the time in the Roman Empire, he may have thought, well, this is a place to be. I can disappear in Rome and in the world and nobody will ever find me. But somehow he came in contact with Paul, and Paul led him to the Lord, Onesimus. And now Paul is sitting with this issue. And this is really Philemon, the issue. When we look at that issue, this is the real thing. The main thing in the letter is this issue of Onesimus running away, Philemon being a Christian led to the Lord by Paul. Now Onesimus, a slave who is owned by Philemon, becomes a Christian. And Paul is sitting in Rome in prison, and he is saying to himself, how do I treat this? And Onesimus, in the meantime, becomes a real friend and a servant to Paul, helping him while he's in prison. And Paul is sitting with this issue. Do I hold him back? Do I help him to flee further? Or do I send him back to his master? And so the issue really, ultimately, and the rest of the letter is, Paul wants to do the right thing. And the right thing is to make the connection back so that the relationship can be restored, because now both Philemon and Onesimus, an owner and a slave, are Christians. And so Paul wants to do the right thing by sending him back. But he doesn't want to just send him back into a normal slavery type of situation. And we'll look a little bit more at that next week. Because what really is behind all of this is the fact that both Philemon and Onesimus and Paul and all the other people mentioned in these letters are now part of a new community. It's a new kind of community. And that's why I call the message today Christian Community. It's about that community. And how do we live in this community? How do we behave? How do we act? How do we talk? How do we speak? What is our attitude? Because being part of a new community, the community of Jesus Christ, means that your life changes dramatically from where you used to be to where you are now and how you want to live your life. And so that really is the major issue here. And today I want to focus on that in particular. And next week we'll talk about Christian freedom. And that is the main section of the letter. But today I want to talk about more about how we behave and what are some of the characteristics of being in this new community. The letter literally swarms with references to our new identity in Christ. When we are in Christ, we are known differently. We are known by each other differently. And so the many references here refer to our true identity in Christ and how we then behave as a result of our true behavior in Christ. And so I believe just in the sections that I read, in the verses that we read together, that we can find some characteristics of the Christian community. There's a lot more in the New Testament and in the rest of the Bible. We're not going to focus on that. I'll stick to Philemon and find out what is the Lord saying to us about living in this community that we are now part of. And we are that community, and I'll talk a bit more about that later on. But I believe to start it all off is the foundation, and that is community. Christian community is God-focused. It's quite interesting, as I worked my way through the letter this past week, I highlighted the words God and Lord and Christ and Jesus, or Jesus Christ, or wherever they are mentioned. 13 times in this short little letter, there is reference to God, to Jesus, to the Lord. And so you can't miss that if you read the letter. And if you are a Christian, and if we form a Christian community, then the word Christian drives us. And going back to Antioch, where Paul served for a long while, in the book of Acts. This is the first time that Christians or followers of Jesus were called Christians, which means we are little Christ. We are associated with Christ. And so Christian community is exactly that. It's not just a normal, regular community. It is a community of people who belong to Jesus Christ. Paul calls himself even a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And as we know, he's writing from prison, but his true identity is not being a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of Jesus Christ and for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so even his earthly or human identity as a prisoner now, a convict as it were, or whatever they were convicted him of, he sees himself as rather a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I belong to Christ. He's the one who controls me. If you're in prison, you're controlled by the state. But really, a prisoner of Christ Jesus is controlled by Jesus. And so, the many references to Jesus and to God and to the Lord here prove that Paul's life and his ministry focused on salvation through Christ Jesus, our salvation by God, by grace, through what Jesus Christ came to do for us. And he desires to do nothing out of his own or for his own glory. And even in his greetings, it's quite interesting as we read it together, when Paul greets them, greets Philemon, and you see that almost in every single letter, even the normal standard letter writing greeting format, which is, I send you greetings, which in, and I'll mention the word, the Greek word to you, it's charein. This is the normal way. If I would write to any secular person in the first century in Greek, I would use the word charein. But Paul changes that, the charein, to charis, grace. So it's just the way Paul's whole life is oriented towards a very new identity. He couldn't even write a normal secular letter without referring to the fact that Jesus is his Lord and his Savior. And so our community can become human-focused. We can be so focused on reaching our society around us that we begin to lay on all sorts of different things. And it can be a soccer camp like we had this past week. It can be a movie evening. It can be all sorts of different social things. And there are plenty of clubs and social environments where we can find fellowship and friendships and all the other things. And those things are not wrong. They're not sinful in and of themselves. But if the church starts focusing on becoming a social club, providing a friendship for the neighborhood and for people to really just rub shoulders with one another, without being God-focused, we've lost our focus. We've lost our very sense of direction, and we've lost our reason for existence. We exist as a church because of God. We exist as a church because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, for no other reason. And the other things are spin-offs. We have wonderful fellowship. We drink coffee together. We share friendships. We make wonderful friends in the church. And all of those things are byproducts of the fact that we are belonging to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so true Christian community is God-focused. This is why we worship. This is why we come together. This is why we enjoy the music. But it's not about the music. It is about serving Christ. It's about serving God. It's about being God-focused. But secondly, community is also people-centered. I find that quite challenging, actually, when I look at the Apostle Paul. His references to people he worked with reveal something about his attitude towards them and his respect for them. And he calls them by name, 9 of them mentioned in this letter, more of them in other letters as well. And it's like Paul is acknowledging the fact that he's not alone in all of this. He acknowledges other people with him. There is always Timothy, who wrote this letter with him, and similarly the letter to the Colossians. Timothy was a protege of Paul when he found him on his second missionary journey. And Paul and Timothy became that co-worker of his. And so even the words that Paul uses for them And he calls Philemon a brother. There is a sister. There is a fellow soldier. There is a fellow worker. There's a fellow prisoner. And so Paul acknowledges them. He mentions them by name. Nine of them, as I said. And the way that Paul then approaches Philemon also reveals a sensitivity for personality, style, approach, and everything else. Paul is acknowledging the fact that Philemon is actually a wealthy owner of a slave, and so he does not bypass that. He actually acknowledges that, and he treats this whole issue with great sensitivity, because in ministry, in church ministry, in church community, we are people-centered, we are God-focused, that's the foundation. But I can't sit at home and just serve the Lord by myself. I have a wonderful foundation and God is my God. I need to respect other people around me, even the community around us, those who are not believers in Christ. We need to respect them because that's what Christ wants us to do. Christ himself set the example by respecting and handling people, respecting people and handling them with care. And so Philemon, in turn, is praised for the way that he works with the saints. It's a word that is used in the Bible, holy ones, which is really a reference to other Christians as well, people who belong to God in verse 5. And Paul says, I benefited from your love in verse 6. And then Philemon also refreshed the hearts of the saints. So Philemon was out looking. He looked out for other people as Paul was looking out for other people. And so being people-centered means you need to be on the lookout. It's like love. If you tell me I'm a very loving person, but I sit at home 7 days a week, I don't go out anywhere, I begin to have doubts. How do you know you're loving? Just sitting by yourself. You love yourself. Of course you do. But do you love other people? You need those other people to love if you want to show that you are a loving person. And so Christianity teaches us to reach out to other people. And Philemon is praised for the way that he reaches out and loves other people. And the word love is mentioned a few times in this letter. Maintaining good relationships with people around us is crucial for community, for our community, for the Christian community. And our community and our love for one another as a Christian community will then rub off on the rest of our unsaved community. And that's important because we want to reach out into the world. And we can only do so if we love one another, if we fight and backbite and go on in different kinds of sinful ways. We cannot begin to dream of reaching our society around us if we don't even respect and love one another. So community, Christian community, is people-centered. Our love and our attitude to others need to win people over rather than push them away. And unfortunately, some Christians, even online, push people completely away. They say, if this is how Christians behave, I don't want to know their God. But thirdly, our community with one another, Christian community, facilitates spiritual growth. Paul's relationship with Philemon gives him the opportunity to minister to Philemon. And this is one way in which he's reaching out. He's already written he's writing at the same time the letter to the Colossians. So Philemon would be part of that, those who receive the letter to the Colossians. But here, Paul is addressing a very personal, separate issue from the church. And he's incorporating Philemon into that by helping Philemon to grow in his understanding of what it means to live with a new Christian community. And he does so by ministering to him, by commending him. He's very, very, very positive, and it's a clever way of winning him over, of course. But at the same time, it's encouraging. He's encouraging Philemon to grow more in his maturity. We see that clearly in verse 6. Where Paul uses the letter to encourage Philemon as he shares his faith, Philemon shares his faith to grow in the full knowledge of every good thing. At this particular moment, Paul is not saying to Philemon what the good thing is going to be about. He is about to, And we'll look more at that, and that is, how do you handle this whole tricky situation with a runaway slave who's become a Christian and is now sent back to his master? And I believe that Paul is setting the scene here, setting the stage, as it were, so that he could then address Philemon on this whole issue of how he needs to handle Onesimus who's coming back to him. Paul also expresses his gratitude to how Philemon himself caused Paul joy and comfort. And that's another encouraging thing for Philemon. Where and when this happened, we have no idea. As I said, we don't know how they initially connected. Maybe Philemon traveled to Ephesus, and that's where Paul led him to the Lord. And just accepting the Lord would have caused Paul some growth, spiritual growth in his own life, by joy and comfort, knowing that another person has committed himself to the Lord. So Philemon is a blessing to Paul in some way. Christian community provides us with fellowship, love, joy, care. But it's also a place where we are held accountable. And as we establish those relationships, we have fellow believers who can hold us accountable, who can point out and say, what you are doing, the way you live, or that action of yours, or those words of yours were not acceptable. And that is accountability. And Paul never hesitated to also address the negative things in life that may hold us back. But here in this letter, he's very encouraging. And so it provides us with that joy and fellowship that we need, the Christian community, so that we can grow spiritually as well. And then closely related to that is the last one I want to share, and that is community. Christian community provides us with care and support. Just as Paul derived much blessing from the ministry and the friendship with Philemon, as we see in verse 7. He also refers to the fact that Philemon was owing him even your very self, he said. So Paul cared for Philemon, and now he's asking Philemon to essentially care for Onesimus, the slave. But also Paul will benefit from Philemon's work as well. He commends Philemon for refreshing the hearts of the saints. In other words, for being a positive impact and influence by caring and supporting others around him, other Christians as well. And as a way of caring for him, Paul says, I am praying for you, and I'm thanking God for you, and I'm praying for you. And he prays for his growth, as we saw in verse 6. And at the same time, Paul is saying, And I hope to be released at some point according to your prayers. And it's interesting, the you here is plural. In other words, not just Philemon, but other people who are praying for Paul to be released from prison, which may have happened at the end of Acts chapter 2, the end of the book of Acts, according to tradition. Even Paul's standard greetings here is a blessing. May the grace of God be with you. May the love of God be with you. May the peace of God be with you. It's all part of that loving and caring community that we're a part of. And then Paul even goes one step further. He says, whenever I am released, I want you to prepare a room for me. I'm banking on your hospitality. You've got a home. You've got a house big enough to accommodate a church. And I want you to prepare a room because I may pop in. I may stop by, and I want you to accommodate me. So kind of mutual respect, mutual care, mutual love for one another. And Christian community has always been known for its hospitality, for its care, for its support, and for the prayers for one another. And by the way, not just for one another, but also reaching out into the community. Even early secular authors referred to the fact that the Christian community cared for the poor and the outcast in the community. And so Christian community is about care and love for one another and for the world around us. And so when we talk about Christian community, I want to remind us that we are that Christian community. This is who we are over here. Just on a personal note, the fact that we came here 2 months ago and you adopted us, encouraged us, invited us, although it's only a temporary thing. We have experienced your love and your care in many, many different ways. And so this is an encouraging word for you as well as a church. This is a wonderful church that accommodates people, and I want to encourage you with that and thank you for that as well. But God created fellowship. Even at the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, when he created Adam in chapter 2 of Genesis, not good for man to be alone. So not only did God create humanity or humankind for himself, but he also created humankind so they can have fellowship with one another. And so he created Eve and Adam, and so marriage and family and community and extended family and friends and Christian community and church. All of that is what God created so that we can belong to one another. We are that community. And we don't have time, and I'm not going to spend some time, but in 2 Corinthians 5, we are reminded that we are a new creation. Everything old has been taken away, and we are new. In Christ, we are new. And therefore, when we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter uses the same concepts that God is using to describe Israel in the Old Testament to describe the church of the New Testament. We are the holy nation. We are God's people. We are that fellowship. We are the community that God created. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about, especially about how Jew and Gentile were reconciled in and through Christ. There is no division anymore because we belong to this community called Christians. And since we have become followers of Christ, we have this new identity. And we can give expression to that identity by being part of a healthy, thriving, loving, caring community where God is first, where God is acknowledged, where God is the one who is honored in our lives. So God's message in the Bible is very clear. He wants us to belong. He wants us to belong to Him, but He also wants us to belong to a community, a Christian community, where we can glorify God together. In our relationships, in our love, our faith, and our actions. And I believe that this new community is just a foretaste of the permanent community. Revelation chapter 7, verse 19 says, there was a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, languages, standing before the throne, crying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Every nation and ICF is a wonderful example of that. Every international church and every other church in the world should be a wonderful example, but of a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like, where we from all over the world and all over history will come together, and there's one single focus, and that's our God on the throne, our God who lives inside of us. So here's the challenge, going back to those 4 points that I mentioned. As a new community called the Church of Jesus Christ. And for us as an international church right here in Oberursel, is our focus really on God as our foundation, our source of life, and the reason for our existence? That's a measurement I believe we need to, first of all, look at very carefully. And then, do we acknowledge others in our community? Are they valued members? Are other people who work with me and who are in the same community, are they valued by me and by all the others as part of God's team in reaching the world through the gospel, with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we encouraging one another to grow spiritually to maturity? And it's an ongoing process. We'd rather call it maturing in Christ because it's an ongoing process. And that's an invitation to other Christians around me to say, please, I need your input. I need your support. I need you to help me to grow spiritually. And then are we reaching out to other people in love, those around us? Are we caring for the needs of those in our community, Christian community, but also in our larger community? I believe there are two possible responses here today, probably more. But the first one is, if anything I said today sounds like another language to you, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you need to make that decision to become a Christian. Maybe you need to make that commitment to say, Lord, Jesus, I invite you in my life. I want you to change me. I want you to give me that new life. I want you to give me that new identity so that I can belong to the community. If you are a Christian, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to evaluate how we are functioning as a Christian or as Christians and as a community. Are we measuring up to God's expectations of us? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for creating this community. Thank you that we belong to the same community that Paul and Philemon and Onesimus and Titus and Timothy and others belong to. But thank you, Lord, that even 2,000 years later, we still belong to you, first of all, and we belong to one another. And so help us, Lord, as we evaluate and measure ourselves against your word, to be able to be honest and to be led by your spirit and to be convicted by your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.